intentional, never failing. I know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, she's intentional, never failing.
All things are working for my good.
'Cause she's intentional. Hey, and it's never failing. All things are working for my good.
He's intentional.
Praise God, and welcome to Eve's Corner. Eve's Corner is a show of enlightenment, encouragement, and empowerment, and I am thankful for you all joining on today. Happy holidays to each of you. I know that several of you are probably out shopping and spending time with family and doing things to prepare for the Christmas holiday. Just want to remind you all to make sure that you keep Christ in Christmas. This is not about Santa Claus, but this is about Jesus. Remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Our show on today is entitled Managing Me. You know, very often we get caught up in trying to figure out what other people should do. We get caught up in trying to figure out what other people need to do or ought to do according to our opinions or according to our beliefs. You know, we spend a lot of time judging other people's situations and their circumstances. But we want to talk today about how to manage me. There's an old song that used to say, sweep around your own doorstep before you try to sweep around mine. So before we try to tell anybody else what they need to do, whether it's husband or children or coworker, whomever it is, we want to make sure that we have ourselves in order. We want to make sure that we are aligned according to the word of God. You know, it's just like being on an airplane and the stewardess will tell you, or the flight attendant will tell you, and most people tune it out. But if you pay attention, they say, in the event that we lose cabin pressure, in the event that something happens, an oxygen mask is going to drop down. And if you're traveling with a child or someone who's elderly who needs assistance, before you try to take care of them, you definitely need to take care of yourself first. So they let you know that you need to put the oxygen mask over your own face. Then you attend to them, because you can't help anybody else if you are not aligned with the word of God. You can't help anybody else if you are not where you need to be. So we want to first start with ourselves. So in saying that, turn your Bibles with me to Galatians, the fifth chapter. That's Galatians, the fifth chapter, and we're going to pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for our many blessings. Lord, we thank you for how you continue to watch over us and continue to keep us, God. We thank you now, God, even for this ministry. We pray, God, that everyone who is connected to this ministry receive a special blessing on today, God. God, bless those who may be sick in their bodies. Your word says that you were wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon you. And by the stripes that you bore, Jesus, we are already healed. Lord, we thank you now that we can just receive your word that we are healed according to Scripture in advance. All we have to do is receive it. God, we thank you now for those who are listening who may be confused and troubled in their minds, God. We pray now, God, that you would let this mind be in them, which was also in Christ Jesus. We come against all manner of confusion. We come against all manner, God, of fear or any mental disabilities, God. We stand against it right now. We pray, God, that you cover them with your blood in the name of Jesus. We know, God, the confusion is not of you. You have given us a sound mind. We thank you, God, for those who are listening right now who just may be down in their spirits on today, God. We pray, God, that you would lift up their bow down heads, oh Lord. God, we pray that you would help us to be more like you, Lord. Help us to please you, God. We want to decrease and we want you to increase in us, oh God. God, we pray now for those who are having financial difficulties or job situations, Lord. We thank you, God, that because your word says he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. God, because we are sowers, because we sow into your kingdom, because we are tithers in your kingdom, we thank you now, God, for multiplying it. And every seed that we sow, God, we're going to attach a word to it. As we attach your word to it, God, we already know, God, if we believe in faith, it will be manifested in the natural. We thank you, God, for letting your word come forth on today with clarity and understanding. We bind every hindering spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you told us that the keys to the kingdom are binding and loosing. And God, we just bind the enemy on every hand. God, we pray now that you just loose your blood over every person that's listening. Loose your blood over this ministry. God, we loose the blood of Jesus over our lives as a whole. God, we thank you now. And we forever praise you for all that you've done, Lord, and all that you're going to do. We give you glory in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, amen, you are with me at Galatians, the 5th chapter. We're going to begin at the 22nd verse. But I want you to keep your Bibles handy because we're going to come back to Galatians a little bit later on. We're talking again about managing me, just how to manage me. Not anybody else, but Lord, I want you to begin with me. So beginning at Galatians 5 and 22. Now, I am reading from the Living Bible translation. The scripture reads, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And here, there is no conflict with Jewish laws." Amen. So we're going to be talking specifically about one portion of the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control on today. Again, we're talking about how to manage me. So first and foremost, in managing me, I need to know what managing is. You know, sometimes we hear that word and we immediately make it applicable to other people. But the word management in itself is the process of dealing with or controlling things or people through planning, organizing, and directing. Now, we know very well about the process of controlling other people, but we also want to talk today about controlling things, some things going on with me. What is it that's going on with me that God may or may not be pleased with? What is it that's going on with me that I may need a little bit of help with? Because we all need some help from time to time. So now knowing that and hearing about the fruit of the Spirit of self-control, and some of us may not have even known that that is a fruit of the Spirit. Well, when you're spiritual, you're supposed to have some level of self-control. And we're going to talk about those details. So self-control, basically, as a fruit of the Spirit, if you're spiritual, you don't walk after the things of the flesh. You have certain character traits. And those traits should be evident in your life. Nobody should have to look to see if you have self-control. It should just be obvious. We just talked about the 9 attributes of the Christian life. And the one we're focusing on again today is self-control. It's the ability to manage your own emotions and your desires or the expression of your emotions in your behavior, especially in difficult situations. It's a matter of exercising restraint. What do we mean by that? The best way to know if you have self-control is when things happen. Do you shoot off at the mouth? Are you going off and telling people off? Do you break down and fall apart and cry every time something happens? So in that focus today, in talking about self-control, in talking about how to manage me, we're going to talk about 5 specific areas that we need God to help us to manage. We want to talk about managing the mind, managing our mouths, managing our moods, managing our moves, M-O-V-E-S, and then managing our money. those five specific areas. Those are big things for the people of God. And sometimes we need some understanding in what the Word is telling us to do to show us how it is that we're supposed to manage these areas. So the very concept of having to manage these things implies that there is a battle between what we desire to do and then what our natural man or our flesh tells us to do. So you already know, if this is something that we have to manage, if this is something that we need to do, it's going to be a battle. It's not going to be easy every day, and it's going to have to be something that you're consciously aware of having to keep under control. And if you're not in a battle, you might want to check your flesh, because you might be walking around in your flesh and just thinking, oh, I'm just a realist. Oh, this is just how I am. Oh, girl, you know, that's just me. That's just how I talk. No, that's not the case. If this is always who you are, you might be in your flesh. You might need to check your little flesh meter, because you can't be walking in the Spirit and always tell it like it is, which is the excuse that we use. You can't be walking in the Spirit and hurt people's feelings on a regular basis. That's not God. But we need to be clear about that. We need to know when we're in the flesh and when we're in the Spirit. So now, in managing our minds, we have to be careful about what we're thinking. It's simple. How we think is affected by what we hear, what we see, and what we read. Therefore, you definitely want to make sure that you're feeding your mind according to the way that you'd like to think. Now think for a moment about somebody like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan wanted to play basketball. So throughout his childhood, he focused on practicing for basketball. Before school, after school, during his free time, he played basketball. When he was in high school, he played. But he didn't just practice when the team practiced. He also practiced when he got home. When he made it to the NBA, he practiced morning, noon, and night because his focus was basketball. Well, guess what? If your focus is keeping your mind on God, then you continuously need to do things that help you to keep your mind on God, whether it's the music that you listen to, whether it's the shows that you watch on television, whether it's the kinds of books that you read. Many of us read a whole lot of novels, but we don't necessarily read things that feed our spirit. What about the people that you talk to, that you're on the phone with constantly? What goes into your ears goes into your mind. You begin to think according to the things that you constantly see and hear. So guess what? That means that in order for us to get our minds right, in order for us to focus on the things of God, we have to make some changes with what we see and hear. It's simple. According to Philippians, the second chapter, if you want to turn there, that's Philippians, second chapter. And we're just going to talk through verses 5 through 11. The Bible says that we need to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. It goes on to talk about how Jesus took on the mind of a servant, and he was obedient to the will of God. While he was in the earth, he remained obedient to the will of God. So that lets you know that you can do it. You can walk in this earth and still obey God and not have to fall short to the things that are going on in the world just because you are in this world. You are not of this world. But in Jesus doing that and submitting himself to God, God exalted him. See, a lot of times we want God to do things for us, but we don't want to submit to the will of God. We don't want to get our focus together. We focus on everything but God. And then on Sundays, we're like, well, you know, I guess I need to go to church. No, you can't just have your mind on Jesus on Sunday. This is supposed to be a lifestyle. If you want your mind to be submitted to the things of God, then you have to continuously focus on God in everything that you do. You have to be submitted to the will of God for your life. And you hear people say very often, well, I don't really know what the will of God is for my life. Well, guess what? You need to do some more reading. You need to do some more studying. How can you know what the will of God is for your life if you're not studying, if you're not spending time with him? The more time you spend with him, the more he talks to you. The more you read, the more you understand, and you get the clarity that you need. Now, what kind of things should we be thinking about since we're getting our minds right? Well, Philippians, the fourth chapter, beginning at the eighth verse, tells us the types of things we should think about. See, the Lord didn't leave anything unturned. No stone is left unturned. He even lets us know what we should be thinking about. Like, okay, well, if I can't think about this and I can't think about that, what should I be thinking about? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, things that are of good report, these are the things you should be thinking on. So that means you don't have time to be thinking about mess and gossip. You don't have time to think about how to get revenge on somebody and being hateful and walking around mad at the world. You don't have time to think about that stuff. Those are not the things you should be focused on. And I know somebody's thinking, well, that's how the rest of the world thinks. That's how the rest of the world operates. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world. You're a child of God. But what you should do is be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may know what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You got to transform your mind. You got to get your minds right. Once we get our minds right, that's the beginning of self-control. And again, this is something that we have to consciously work on every single day. When you find yourself with your mind wandering off into other things, collect yourself. Come back to the Word of God. Don't fall into the traps of this world. What else do we need to focus on? We need to focus on the control of our mouth. We have to be careful about the things that we say. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, which do you choose? Do you want to choose death, or do you want to choose life? You choose it with the words that you use. And in Proverbs 18:21, it says that those who love it will reap the consequences. So the consequences that you reap will come from what you say. Isn't that simple? Almost too simple, huh? What you say has consequences. If you love to talk about life, if you love to talk about positive things, if you love to talk about the things of God, those are going to be the types of consequences that you reap. But if you're always talking negative and being negative, and the words that come out of your mouth are always what you can't do, what you won't do, what you'll never have, that will be what you continue to reap. It's scripture. I didn't say it. Look at Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in my control according to what I say, and all I have to do is choose. My God. Don't you know that with your tongue and the words that come out of your mouth, you can kill a relationship? The death of many marriages have come from somebody's mouth, somebody who's negative and abusive with their words. You can bring death to your marriage, or you can bring life to your marriage. Speak well of your spouse. Commend them. Pat them on the back. Talk about the great things that they do. Not always. Nobody wants to always hear what they're not doing right. Nobody wants to always hear from you what they shoulda, coulda, woulda, especially when they can stop and look back at your life like, really? Oh, okay. Y'all know we do it. You can kill the relationship with your children, parents, with your mouth. If you're always talking negative, they avoid you. Pay attention. They're not always doing homework and hiding in their room. They're just staying away from you. Think about it. Husbands, if your wife are always telling you she's in the other room working on something for church, she may just be avoiding you. It could be your mouth. Tell her some good things. Tell her some positive things. Tell her how much you love her. You can kill relationships with folks at church. You can kill relationships with people on your job with your mouth. Or you can bring life to them. Those of you who are employers, take some time to tell the people who work for you that they're doing a great job. Take some time to tell your children, parents, that you love them. Even if they didn't take out the garbage just the way you would have done it. show them the right way. But don't always bash them over the head with your mouth. Nobody wants to have to deal with that. And I know that it's not an easy task. The Bible talks about the tongue in James, the third chapter. And it talks about taming the tongue. The Word of God lets us know that the tongue is, first of all, hard to tame. But we'll take that same tongue and use it to praise God. How then do we turn around and curse his people with that same mouth, the same tongue? The people of God are made in his likeness. And the Bible says this ought not to be. Out of the same fountains, you're not going to get bitter water and sweet. It's not possible. The Bible compares the tongue to a small spark that starts a forest fire. Think about any forest fires that you ever heard about. They start from a very small area, from something small, like somebody throwing out a cigarette butt or forgetting to put out a campfire. But don't you know that one little small spark can mess around and burn up a whole community because it grows from there? Well, that's the same type of damage we do with our tongues. We have to make decisions to use our mouth for good, use our mouth to not only bless God, but to bless God's people. Nobody wants to always hear you talking about woe is me. Don't you know that a lot of times when people say, hey, how you doing? They don't really want to hear you talk about, well, my garden done burnt out, my dog died, my woman done left me. My job ain't acting right. I ain't get paid. Had a flat tire yesterday. People don't really want to hear that. Negative things like that run people away. Or you come in to work and somebody says, hey, how you doing? And your answer is, what you asking me that for? You up to something? Why you want to know how I'm doing? And they're thinking, oh, my God. I'll never ask her again. Come on now. Use your mouth for positive things. If you know that a small spark can start a forest fire, then let that spark be something positive. Let that spark be in blessing God. Let that spark be in encouraging somebody in the Word of God. The example that I use very often when it comes to the words that we say are about my children. When my children were young, before they went to school every morning, we spoke over them. And we would ask them, who's blessed of the Lord and highly favored? And they would say, me. Who's the head and not the tail? They'd say, me. Who is above only and not beneath? Me. Guess what? Those same words came back when they became adults. Because if mommy or daddy is having a bad day, Mom, don't forget, you're blessed of the Lord and highly favored. Those same words, those same seeds that we sowed 20-something years ago in those children came back. So I know that God's word is true. Sow into your children. Sow into the people on your job. Sow into the people at your church. With just words. And I assure you, you will see it come to fruition. You'll see it come back to you. When you're a positive, happy person and you smile at folks, most normal people will smile back at you. Use your tongue for something good. Speak positively. If things are not going well, say what the word says. Well, this did happen, but God is in control. All power in heaven and earth is given unto God, and I already know he's got it. God gave me power. Speak the word. We're not saying act crazy and act like you don't see your car all flat and drive around with a flat tire. But what we're saying is take those words and say, okay, it is a fact that the tire is flat, but the truth, which is the word of God, says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. My needs are met. So, yeah, I'm going to go over here and take care of this tire and get to work. I'm not asking you to act like you're blind and crazy. But take the situation, because things happen in our everyday lives. Take that situation and use it as an opportunity to bless God. Use it as an opportunity to praise God for who he is. So what? The tire's flat. It happens. It's man-made. It's all right. It's okay. But use it as an opportunity to talk about the goodness of God. Psalm number 141, verse 3. Says, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Guess what? We have a guard. The Holy Ghost is our guide. The Holy Ghost is our keeper. Let the Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of you be the guard for your mouth. I know it's not easy. Sometimes stuff comes out of your mouth before you even think. That's why you should stop and think first. It happens with all of us. Ephesians 4:29 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful to build others up. Spend your time building up the people of God. Take the word of God and build yourself up. Thank you, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror. Thank you, Lord, that I'm the head and not the tail. Thank you, Lord, that all my needs are met. Thank you, Lord, that I'm a holy nation. Come on now, find out what the word of God says about you and use it to build up yourself and others around you. Use your tongue to speak life into other people. And remember, like I said, if you don't, you may have a lonely life. Because if you always use your words to bash people over the head, they'll begin to avoid you. Nobody likes to be abused. The biggest, baddest person, nobody likes to be abused. Use your words for good. Now, what else do we want to manage? We definitely want to manage our moods, M-O-O-D-S. We need to be careful about our emotions, because oftentimes the reason that stuff happens with our mouth is because we allow our emotions to be unchecked. How do we manage our moods? How do we manage these emotions? We're human. What are we supposed to do? Well, Proverbs 4:23 says, you keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Things happen. We all go through things. But we have to make sure that we keep our heart guarded. We have to make sure that we keep ourselves guarded with the word of God, not building walls, keeping everybody out and keeping ourselves in. But you stay guarded by the word of God. How then do we deal with these issues of life? Well, first of all, we have to know what they are. Look with me back at Galatians, the 5th chapter. This time we're going to look at verse number 19. Now, looking at verse number 19, this helps us to know things that we have to be careful about. These things are the works of the flesh. The Bible says the works of the flesh are obvious, but if you don't know what they are, and if you need to go back and check them from time to time, go to Galatians 5, beginning at the 19th verse. What does the Bible say? When you follow your own wrong inclinations, which lets you know that in your natural man, you're going to have some wrong inclinations, period. You're not perfect. But if you follow those wrong inclinations, your lives will produce these evil results: impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, spiritism, that's encouraging the activity of demons, hatred and fighting, jealousy and anger, constant effort to get the best for yourself, just being selfish. Complaints and criticisms. You criticize everybody all the time. Don't you know that's your flesh? If you complain at every restaurant you go to, don't you know that's your flesh? The feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in your own little group. And there will be wrong doctrine. Envy, murder, drunkenness, wild parties, and all of that sort of thing. The Bible says, let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we talk a lot of times about heaven, but everybody ain't going. If you don't have control of your flesh and you're constantly engaged in the types of things that we just talked about in verses 19 through 21, these things can hinder you. These things will hinder you from seeing God. We have to stop where we are and take inventory of ourselves. It's easy for us to criticize everybody else and check off everything in little boxes of our little judgment sheet of what we think they should be doing. But I don't have time to be watching you because I'm trying to keep me straight. I don't have time to be paying attention to what you're doing and saying all the time because I want to keep me straight. I don't want to be doing all this in vain. I want to see Jesus. And because I do, and I don't want to be hindered, I have to let all this stuff go. All these works of the flesh have to go. We need to be led by truth. We have to know what that truth is, though. The truth is the Word of God. So that means we need to be studying the Word of God and constantly on the Word of God. Not concentrating on how we feel, not concentrating on our flesh at the moment. Because some of these things might feel good at the moment. So you think. But you have to be in control of your flesh by making it align with the Word of God. Your flesh does not want to align. It's not going to be easy. But you have to be in control of that. Now, what else do we want to manage? We also want to manage our moods. Be careful about the choices that you make. How do we manage our moods? Our M-O-V-E-S. You have to consider the consequences of every action beforehand. If you don't stop and think before you do things, and then after the fact, they're like, oh, well, in hindsight, I guess I shouldn't have said that, huh? Mm-hmm. You need some self-control. We need some self-control. Again, because it's very easy to just blurt things out and then say, oops, you can't take words back. You can't take back how you made somebody feel. So you need to be careful about the choices that you make. Careful about your financial choices. Careful about your word choices. Careful about the places you go and the people you hang out with. Careful about that decision to roll back over in the bed every Sunday morning. You could have gone to church. Be careful about your choices. Don't let temporary situations let you make lifelong choices. You mad at your spouse right now. You want a divorce now. It was a disagreement. Get over it. Get over yourself. You mad at somebody at work. I'm going to quit this job. Yeah, okay. You get out there and realize right quick, oh, I guess I needed this resource. Yes, God is your source, but that job was your resource. That job gave you the ability to sow into the kingdom and to tithe. In the process, while things are going crazy on the job, you pray and ask God to promote you, move you. But you don't just go up and make a rash decision when you know you have a family to feed. When you know that you're getting occurrences every time you come to work late. But you keep coming to work late. And then when the folks get ready to fire you, you're talking about, but I got a family. You won't think about your family when you came to work 10 minutes late every day. Be careful about your choices. They definitely affect your future. Be careful about your choices of the people that you spend your time with, the folks you hang out with. Don't you know you can be with the wrong person and it can cost you your life? Don't you know you can be at the wrong place, the wrong time, and it can cost you your life? You need to make decisions and ask God about everything that you do. You need to ask God about where you should be and when you should be and how you should be. If you want a job, you pray and ask God, Lord, is this the job for me? I don't want any undue stress. I don't want to be around mess and drama. And that happens very often on our job. But sometimes we go through things because it's not the place for us. Or that season has passed. So be careful about the choices that you make. In Joshua, the 24th chapter, verses 14 and 15, Joshua told the people of God, choose you this day. That means you make a choice. Nobody's going to make it for you. But you need to make a conscious decision who it is that you're going to serve. And he went on to tell them, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You might have been worshiping idols before. You might have been out there in the world before doing your thing. But you need to make a decision today who it is that you're going to serve. You can't keep bouncing back and forth. You can't serve idols and be down here worshiping idol gods and having all kinds of parties and stuff while the man of God is away talking to the Lord. Moses went away up on the mountain talking to the Lord and came back down, and they had built golden calves and they were doing all kinds of stuff. They were partying because the man of God was not watching them at the moment. He was spending time talking to the Lord. Guess what? Some of us do the same thing. We only act right when we're in front of the man or woman of God. The preacher comes to the house. Everybody, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God sees you all the time. You ain't fooling nobody. God knows. God sees. Make a conscious decision on who it is that you're going to serve. You can't serve God and then serve the world. You can't serve God and then serve money or mammon, as the Bible says. You can't serve two masters. Matthew 6 and 24 says either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve Satan, but you can't serve both masters. What's going to happen is you're going to hate one and love the other, but you cannot equally serve God and equally be in the world. It doesn't work that way. Make a decision. You need to manage your moods. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 7 through 9, says, don't be deceived, because God is not mocked. You ain't fooling nobody. If you're sowing to your spirit and you're feeding your spirit, the things that you're going to reap will be spiritual. But if you're sowing to your flesh and you're engaged in those works of the flesh that we talked about, like idolatry, spiritism, hatred, fighting, jealousy, anger. If you're feeding into that kind of stuff, that's what you're going to continue to receive. If you're feeding into complaints and criticism all the time, feel like everybody's wrong except you, then that's what you're going to get back. If you're feeding into envy, drunkenness, having wild parties, all kinds of things, feeding into your lustful pleasures, that's what you're going to get back. You can't expect spiritual growth when you're feeding your flesh. It doesn't work that way. You need to know that whatever it is that you're sowing into is definitely what you're going to get back. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27, says, listen to my instructions. If you want to be wise, then you need to build your house on a rock. People of God, that rock is Jesus. That's the house that won't collapse. And then you can be foolish and ignore instructions if you want to, because again, these are your choices. You have to make these decisions. So if you ignore instructions and you decide to be foolish, you'll be just like the man who built his house on sand. And we all know that sand blows away with the wind. The waves come up and it's washed away. It's not a solid foundation. If you're building on anything other than Jesus, if you're building on anything other than your spirit, it's going to wash away. Just because it hasn't washed away yet, don't be fooled. Don't be foolish. And in our managing our moves and making good choices, people of God, we also have to think about the temples that we live in. We're not talking about the sanctuary, the church, but I'm talking about your body as the temple of God. The things that we put into our mouths, the things that we feed ourselves, the things that we drink, it slowly tears away at your temple. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? How can God dwell in there? You need to have some self-control when it comes to your eating habits. We very often get gluttonous at this time of year. We pig out at Thanksgiving. Then walk around with our clothes and say, oh, I need to lose some weight. We pig out at Christmas time. We eat all these heavy foods. Eating is fine. Overeating is a sin. Not taking care of our bodies, not taking care of our temples by getting some exercise, drinking plenty of water. There are several things that we know to do as it pertains to our body. Go for some walks. Get outside and get some fresh air. When it's all you do all day long, feed your face and you never exercise, and there are several different things that you can do. You know, some people work on cardio and weightlifting. Some people swim. Some people jog. There are several things that we can do. You can make a pallet on the floor and do sit-ups and crunches. There are several things that you can do. You can do pull-ups in your own home. Don't use as an excuse, oh, well, you know, I don't have a gym membership. Please. Our forefathers didn't have gyms either, but they worked every day. They were lifting, pulling, pushing, pulling, doing something on a regular basis. So don't use for an excuse, I can't get to the gym, because there are some things you can do in your house. Do some push-ups, do some sit-ups, do some jumping jacks. Take care of our physical bodies. Take care of the temple that God has allowed you to have. We need to make good choices about those things. Now, the other thing that we need to talk about is managing our money. Now, I know a lot of people don't want to hear anybody from the church, quote unquote, talk about money. I hear a lot of people say things like, oh, the preacher just wants your money. The preacher don't need your money. The Bible explicitly tells you to pay tithes. The Bible tells you to sow. It's not because the preacher needs your money, but people need to understand that ministry costs. See, you want to be able to come to the church when you need something. But if nobody's paying tithes and giving offering, how do the lights stay on at the church and you're able, then you go and get your spiritual feeding? Stop worrying about where the money is going. You do what God told you to do. If by chance, and usually it's not the case, but if by chance somebody's doing something with the money from the church, something with the money from the ministry that God has not told them to do, God will deal with them. That's not for you to decide. You just do what you're supposed to do according to Scripture. The Bible lets us know we're supposed to tithe, we're supposed to pay offering, and the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Don't even give it if you don't want to. If you're not happy about giving it, and you're able to say, you know, thank you, Lord, for blessing me with this job and the ability to be able to put the money in the offering plate, because everybody ain't able. We also have to use wisdom when we get large sums of money. January, February, folks get these huge checks. I'm not one of them. A lot of people get these huge checks, get large sums of money, get some back pay on something, or, you know, cash out on 401ks or whatever. Folks get these large sums of money. You would think that it would be used as a time to pay off bills. You would think that it'd be used as an opportunity to pay your tithes if you haven't paid your tithes all year. Take 10% off of that. You would think that it'd be used as an opportunity to save or buy what you need. No, we don't do that. We go on a weave and nail spree. We buying all the weave. We getting all the nails done. We get nails put on our toes and everything else. Getting diamonds and decorations and stuff put on our feet. And we're not spending our money wisely. And then something happens 3 months later, my car broke down. And you can't pay for it. My water heater went out. And you can't pay for it. My kids need school clothes. Really? But you didn't think about that in February. You didn't think about putting anything aside. when you got that huge income tax check. No, you done gave all your money to a man. You done gave all your money to a woman. Not the church. A man. A woman. You throwing a big party and bought all the alcohol the law allows. You threw a cookout. And then when August comes and the kids need clothes, you don't have any money. No, people of God, we need to manage our money properly, especially if you know that you may not see another sum that large again. We need to properly manage our money. That's a matter of self-control also. Here it is. You don't have a stove in your house. And you out spending money on fast food every day, taking the kids to McDonald's. They going to Wendy's. You going to KFC or churches or somewhere trying to get some chicken. But you got a large sum of money. Nothing in your head told you to get a stove. Come on, people of God. We got to make better choices. You know that a stove is a necessity. Don't splurge on the fast food. Take the money and buy the stove and go to the grocery store. Use wisdom with your money. We spend our money on all kinds of things. And then the offering plate come around in church and we throw in a dollar. Really? Come on now. It ought not to be that way. We need some self-control as it pertains to our money also. Take care of the necessities. Take care of your family. Get your kids what they need. We need to also manage our money by having a budget. If you know you have a tendency to forget some bills, if you know you have a tendency to need to stretch and hold this amount of money from week one and hold this amount of money from week two so that you can get to the end of the month and pay rent, you need to have a budget. You need to have a plan. Self-control also means that we have to deal with our debt. The Bible says, owe no man but to love him. Why are you avoiding phone calls? Deal with your debt. The Bible also lets us know in the Old Testament, thou shalt not covet. We always want what everybody else has. Stop trying to be like the Joneses and take care of your bills. Stop buying impulsively. Pay your tithes. Give God his tenth. And then learn how to save. Pay yourself a tenth. And the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. He's worse than an infidel if you're not working and taking care of your family. Don't be a slave to lenders. That's in Proverbs 22 and 7. You don't want to be a slave to lenders. You got a loan all over town, 3-4 loans everywhere, and every time you get paid, you got to go get another loan to take care of that loan. Come on, people of God. Make better choices about your money. The Bible talks about savings in Proverbs 21 and 20. What exactly is a budget? Glad you asked. A budget is simply an estimate of your income and your expenses for a set period of time. There's a purpose in all of that. You need to know what's coming in and you need to know what's going out. Whether you write it down on a sheet of notebook paper or you print out an actual budget or go and buy one from the store, you can download one online. Work from a budget. Be wise about what God has blessed you with. Some people make very good money and don't know what to do with it. Make very good money and still can't figure out how to get to the end of the month without being broke. You need to budget. Draw up a physical budget. Fill in what you got coming in and subtract what's going out. Well, why do I need to do that? It helps to keep track of your money. It helps you to know where you are. It helps you to work on what you need to accomplish. If your goal is to save and pay cash for a house, then you need to be budgeting and paying attention to what you have and putting that money aside. If your goal is to save and pay for college, then you need to work from a budget. You need to have a plan. The other thing is with a budget, It helps you to know where you can make changes to improve your financial standing. So maybe I don't have everything that I need right now, so I'll just put a little bit aside every month. I need to make some changes. I need to get somewhere. I have a goal in mind. I need to have some self-control about all of this. You can also find information about this in Proverbs, the 27th chapter, 23rd verse, and Luke 14, verses 28 through 30. Why do we tithe? First of all, in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 9 through 10, we learn to honor God with our first fruits. And when we honor God and give him the first tenth, the Bible says that then our barns will be filled with plenty. I don't know about you, but I don't like lack. I want my blessings to be running over. So in order for me to have more than enough, for me to have plenty, all I got to do is give God that first 10%, just pay 10% out of all that I have, and then he'll bless me with more than enough. That doesn't seem hard to me. Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 8, talk about the ant and how diligently the ant works. The ant works all year long. When wintertime comes, the ant is able to just go on in and live off of what they saved or what they set aside. We don't want to be like the sluggard. We want to be working like the ant and be diligent about the things that God has blessed us with. The other reason that we need to take care of our money, according to 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, you need to be a trustworthy steward over what you already have. Because if you're not taking care of what you already have, why exactly does God need to bless you with more money? You don't know what to do with the little bit you had. Why would God bless you with a mansion and you can't take care of the one bedroom that you have right now? Why would God bless you with a new car and you're not taking care of the car that you have? Think about it. God has to be able to trust you with what you have in order for him to bless you with more. Proverbs 13 and 11 lets us know, for you people who like to go and play Powerball or go to the casino, the Bible lets you know, if you're not doing the right thing with your money, then when you gain wealth hastily or quickly, guess what? It will dwindle. That's scripture. It ain't for me. So for everybody hoping to win the Mega Millions, if you don't manage your money properly, it don't matter how many millions you win. I'm sorry to disappoint you. If you are not managing your money, even if somebody gave you $1 million right today, you wouldn't know what to do with it. And most of the people that win those $1 million lotteries and things of that nature, a lot of them lose it. A lot of them are not spending properly because they didn't learn to manage money in the first place. And you definitely have to learn that the more that you sow into the kingdom of God, we need to know. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, if you continue to give to God and the kingdom of God, then you're going to reap bountifully. What did we talk about today? We talked about self-control. We talked about how to manage me. I'm not trying to manage you or anybody else. I just need to know, Lord, how do I manage me? We need God to help us to manage our minds, our mouths, our moods, and our money. Remember that self-control is a fruit that should be manifested in the lives of every Christian, every person that claims to be spiritual. It's a necessity. We can't function without it. We need to make sure that as people of God, we're sweeping around our own doorsteps. We need to make sure that as people of God, we're taking care of what God has called us to do, what he's told us to do. We need to make sure that as people of God, we are walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Not doing all those fleshly things that we talked about in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. And you might not get rid of all of them today, but you ask the Lord to help you. Because what happens is the more you feed your spirit, the more your desires for those things will go away. Nobody's telling you, hey, stop this, this, and this right now. Because God already knows you're not going to do it. But what you do need to do is feed your spirit the things you see, the things you hear. Stop listening to so much worldly music and listen to some Christian music that will encourage you in the Word of God. Stop listening to so many ungodly TV shows and watching that foolishness all the time. Everything you watch on TV is doom and death and fighting and something blowing up. No, you need to watch some shows that are spiritual, that are Christian shows. There are some great men and women of God that are on TV and on the radio that can help you to feed your spirit. Be careful about the things that you feed into your spirit. This will help you to maintain your self-control. Thank you all so much for joining. Again, I wish you happy holidays, a Merry Christmas. Remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. If you are in the Jackson, Mississippi area, please stop by the Wordful Gospel Baptist Church, where our pastor is Elder Frederick Stewart. Our founding pastor, our pastor emeritus, is Dr. Baby Williams. We're located at 3023 Percy B. Simpson Drive. Again, that's in Jackson, Mississippi. If you'd like to donate to Campbell Ministries or to Eve's Corner, you may do so by clicking on the donate button on the website. If you go to campbellministries.com, you'll find it there. Or you can write into us and mail an offering at P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, 39236. Again, that's P.O. Box 16214, Jackson, Mississippi, 39236. On today, if you stop by the Wordful Gospel, we will be having singles ministry from 5 to 8 p.m. Now, we do ask that you bring a dish. If you don't know what to bring, you can contact me or our sister Maria Claiborne, and she can tell you what to bring. Please also bring a gift of $10 or less that's wrapped. We're going to exchange Christmas gifts. And then we'll also have our ugly sweater contest. If you have an ugly Christmas sweater, the uglier the better. You just may win a prize. Come dressed in your Christmas attire. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining. I pray that God be with you and God keep you. Until the next time, be blessed.